Hello, and welcome to Ghosts in the Valley. I'm your host, Al Cooley. Today we have two short stories for you. One coming from Kansas City, Kansas. It happened in 1962. And the other one is coming from Beckley, West Virginia. That happened in 1917. In both stories, one is about a fireman, and the other one was told by a fireman. The first one we're going to look at was from Kansas City, Kansas. This story was brought to me by Tambray Ross. She's been on the show a couple times. She is a psychic medium. And this story is about her grandfather, who passed away in a fire while battling that fire in 1962. This one is called The Haunted Firehouse. Silence crept throughout the station house the morning of April 23rd, 1962. It was business as usual as each man went about their assigned chores at the beginning of their shift. The remnants of breakfast could still be smelled through the air because there was not one dirty dish to be spotted in the pristine kitchen of the firehouse. Though there were plenty of chores for each man to do, they would often allow time for playful banter and practical jokes with one another. Proud, dedicated, and respected by all within the community, the firemen assigned to Station Number 8 were a family of brothers with a wide diversity of likes, dislikes, religion, and most of all, superstitions. The firehouse was a three-story brick building built in 1911 with a frame structure that was modern for its time. Located in Wyandotte County, Kansas City, Kansas, atop the modern structure, one only need to look upwards to the sky to see the large gargoyles looming down upon each corner of the station house. The presence and stature was a representation of guardianship watching over the souls that dwelled within its keep. According to folklore, gargoyles were and still commonly used for two primary purposes: to ward off evil and to divert rainwater. The word gargoyle was an old French word meaning throat, which also described the gurgling sound of water as it came down the waterspout. A fireman stares through the eye of evil as it rages within the depths of fire while battling this evil force with none other than water. Yet on the afternoon of April 23rd, 1962, the fate of one of the firemen was beyond the reach of his faithful gargoyles. The fireman was William Franklin Harrison Reynolds, but his family, friends, and fellow firemen knew him just strictly as Zeb. Zeb was one of 10 children born on October 15th, 1894. He served on the Kansas City, Kansas Fire Department for 40 years and was a veteran of World War I. After serving as a fireman for so many years, he became known as the Man of Superstition. Zeb was loved and respected by all that knew him, and being one of 10 children, Zeb knew how to work hard and value family and friends. He loved his country, and he loved his community, and he did everything in his power to keep it safe. And that's why Zeb became a fireman. He needed to protect others, as he did in the military, as he did with his family. Zeb had fallen in love at a young age of 26 to Jenny Shields, and they went on to have 13 children. And one of these 13 children seen Zeb's fate well before it occurred. His son, Jesse Lee Reynolds, followed in his father's footsteps. Jesse joined the United States Navy to serve his country and community. While aboard the naval ship in the South China Sea, Jesse had a vision. Staring out across the water, one evening he saw a massive explosion, fire, and the death of his father. 2 years later, Jesse's vision would become a reality. The alarm sounded loudly as it wailed through Fire Station Number 8, on the afternoon of April 23, 1962. The call was for an explosion at the Gustin Bacon plant in downtown Kansas City manufacturing area. The location of the fire had initiated in plant number 5, resulting in the wall blowing out from the combustion. The fire was one of the worst fires ever seen and responsible for millions of dollars of damage. As the firemen battled the fire from every angle of the enormous plant, Zeb Reynolds was battling the blaze at the other end of the building, where the fire was quickly spreading. During his battle with the blaze, Zeb succumbed to a massive heart attack, falling to the ground, lying in the water from the extinguishers. Zeb lost his life that fateful day, but his spirit and memory would live on forever. As a fireman, it was customary to play practical jokes on the rookie fireman, and oftentimes a practical scare. Zeb was no exception to the rule. His fellow firemen would often hide his personal effects from him, tell him ghost stories, and talk about firehouse superstitions. Zeb, in turn, would join in on all the new rookies and even took part with playing practical jokes on veteran firemen. So it came to no surprise after Zeb's passing that this presence was noted, felt, and heard throughout fire station number 8. One fireman reported Zeb's spirit shaking his bed violently one evening just as he was about to fall asleep. Others reported hearing footsteps, noises that resembled chains rattling from the hose tower and seeing his apparition. Back in the early 80s, a psychic medium was called on to investigate the fire station, and it was apparent that Zeb was not ready to leave the fire station and would on occasion check in on his fellow comrades. The only thing that remains from the old fire station number 8 are the gargoyles that once loomed from the top of the station house, sitting peacefully yet diligently, watching through the glass windows of their now forever home at the Kansas Museum. I want to thank Tammy Ross for sending me that story of her grandfather. Zeb Reynolds was an exceptional man and loved by his entire family. Don't think we've heard the last of Zeb yet. I want to give a shout out to the Beer Latte Show podcast. I was recently a guest on their show. And if you get a chance, check out the Are They Still Out There episode, the Beer Latte podcast. Check it out on Apple, give it a rating, a 5-star review, and they would appreciate that, and so would I. The second story was submitted by a fireman out of Beckley, West Virginia. He asked that his name be withheld. His grandfather was a volunteer rescue fireman at the time of this story. His grandfather also from Beckley when he was called to join a rescue party in Thurman, West Virginia, just across the bridge from Beckley. It was a cold winter day, 1917, in Thurman, West Virginia. Thurman, West Virginia is located close to Beckley, West Virginia, in the New River Gorge area. There are over 500 ghost towns in the New River Gorge. A lot of these ghost towns were started from hundreds of coal miners that mined this region until the mines dried up. It is said today that Thurman has about 6 to 8 permanent residents. It is mainly a railroad community, lots of woods and mines. But on this day, this cold winter day in 1917, the fireman from West Virginia, his grandfather, was known in the area as Big John. Now, Big John was a handyman, and he worked on fixing things around the house. He worked on fixing tractors. You name it, Big John could do it. Now, Big John had a sidekick, and they called his sidekick Black Bean. And they called his, he was called Black Bean because he was African-American, and he was probably Big John's best friend. And wherever you see Big John, you're seeing Black Bean. If you've seen Black Bean, you've seen Big John. Black Bean was small in stature. They say he was around 4'5", very, very short, where Big John's around 6'5". So there was a big difference there. But on this cold winter night, Big John was called to a house and Thurman that the well in the back had collapsed. And Big John found this kind of confusing, because how does a well just kind of like disappear? So when Big John went to the house and Thurman, the well wasn't there. But as he's standing there looking at this hole in the ground where the well used to be, the ground opened up again, huge sinkhole, and took Big John's life. Now the sinkhole went all the way back to almost Black Bean. As I saw, Black Bean would say his feet were dangling over the hole where Big John lost his life. Black Bean immediately ran to Beckley and rounded up about 15 men. It was a bigger community back then. And they went back to Thurman to try to put a long rope down the hole where Big John had fallen. The rope was probably, they're guessing, around 50 feet. And they never did reach the bottom. And a blizzard was rolling in. Weather was very wicked. So they just decided to continue the next morning. After many attempts, they just decided to call it. Sadly, Big John lost his life in 1917 in Thurman, West Virginia. The following spring, they decided to do some more research on that hole, and they found that about 25 feet down, there were mine shafts that ran horizontally off the well that was dug. And the well was dug by hand. It wasn't drilled. So there was a mine shaft that they actually dug their well into. And ironically, this mine shaft also ran almost all the way into Beckley. There was a schoolhouse in Beckley that was haunted with the presence of Big John. Well, today, over 100 years later, the schoolhouse is gone. Some people still say in Thurman, West Virginia, you can still hear Big John chopping wood and whistling like he loved to do, and there's nobody there. And Black Bean claims that Big John might have lost his body that day, but his spirit is still there. And that story was passed down to Big John's children, grandchildren, and even Black Bean's children and grandchildren. And nobody seems to know the name, the real name of Black Bean. I would love to know what his name is, but he was there. He witnessed the tragedy. And in both cases, in Kansas City and in Thurman, West Virginia, the spirit of two bodies still linger. We'll see you in 2 weeks with another great story. I'm your host, Al Cooley, Ghosts in the Valley.